Conference record has joined the conference.
Hello, everybody. This is the public EC meeting for May 2015. I'm Patrick Curran, chair of the JCP. Thank you for joining us. If you're joining live, and my apologies for the technical difficulties we've had. Okay, I'm going to do a brief introduction here. For those of you who are joined by WebEx, I will be displaying slides, but excuse me, I'm sorry, I need to just check one thing here. Hello, welcome. Okay, this is the public EC meeting, May 2015. Let's do a quick call so that people will know who is here. We have somebody from Arm.
Yes, Paul Manfrini.
Paul, Azul.
Yes, Matt Schutze for Azul.
And that's Credit Suisse.
Yeah, Susanna Chase.
Okay. Whoops. Nobody from the Ericsson.
Yes, Christa Bober here.
Okay. Freescale. Okay, excuse me just a second. Fujitsu?
Mike DiNicola.
Mike Gemalto.
Yes, Thomas Lampert is here.
Goldman Sachs.
John Weir's here.
John. Hazelcast. HP.
Scott Jameson.
IBM? IBM? Intel?
Michael Berg?
Ben Kyle?
Yes.
London Java Community?
Martin here.
Okay. And Gear Magnuson?
Present.
Thank you. Microdoc?
Yeah, this is Hendrik.
Okay. Oracle. Pat.
Yeah, Mark Little.
Scott Stark.
And Scott, hi. SAP. Software AG.
Hi, Prasad Yenlui.
Java. I know we have Octavio and maybe Fabio.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Welcome. Notice.
David Brito.
Twitter was not present for the first part, so probably not. And Vedoshcom. Okay. Late start. Let's keep going. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. This is Anish. Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Okay. So... we may have some lurkers from the community, but as a reminder, we do record these calls and we do get people recording them, so we will go forward. Going to do a quick update on changes to the JCP.org login process. Then I will hand it over to Heather to talk about an upcoming meeting we're going to be holding at DevOps UK. Then we'll come back to me to give an update on JCP.next and JSR 358, and then back to Heather for JSR 364. So moving right ahead, login changes. JCP.org is now using Oracle's single sign-on process to log in. So the old logins that we used to have, JCP user IDs, we're not using anymore. Your login ID will be your email address, but we need to synchronize your single sign-on email address with your JCP account. And Heather is telling me I'm not showing the slides. Dear, oh dear. Yes, but I am. Okay, never mind. Okay, so if you are a current JCP.org user, if you already have a login, when you click the sign-in button on the left-hand side of the screen, you will be taken to a single sign-on screen. It will have kind of Oracle written all over it. If you already have an Oracle single sign-on account, then you will just use that account. If you don't, you'll be asked to create one. When you're creating one of these accounts, you must make sure to use the same email address that you used to use with your JCP account. Otherwise, we won't hook the two things together. So if you're not sure which email address you've used before, or if you run into any other problems with logging in, contact admin@jcp.org and we'll sort it out for you, okay? Okay, if you have never registered and you would like to, then you can click register for the site and follow the directions, and then similarly you'll be taken to create an SSO login, okay? You will have to verify your email address, I believe, as part of that sign-on process. Now, we're in the process of making a transition from the old way of logging into the new. We have had a number of issues. We expect to get most of them fixed this week. As I've said, if you have any problems logging in, please contact admin@jcp.org and we will fix it. Quick note, some of you may have received a message last week coming from Oracle Marketing, which might have been confusing, but talking about your SSO account having been created. These messages were delayed by several weeks. The accounts were created last month. If you haven't already done so, please follow the instructions that you will see in that email message, okay? And we do have an FAQ. The link is here to explain a little bit more about all of this. So if you want more information, you can follow that link. Okay, now I'm going to pass it over to Heather. And Heather, I'm going to make you the presenter, because on top of all my other phone problems here, I'm running out of battery and I'm going to have to go and dial in again from another phone in case this one runs. So let me see. Is that okay, Heather? You have your presentation. Can you display it?
I'm going to pull it up right now. Sure, I can do that. So
okay.
I thought we're doing JSR 64 right
no,
now?
The adopt thing. I guess my phone will last 10 minutes here, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay. So your first screen, the first of the two screens on the Adopt Program Summit is up on the screen.
Yes, I see that. Slide 9 on the materials, slide 9.
Okay.
So the Adopt Program Summit, we are organizing an Adopt Program Summit in June and is going to be part of DevOps UK taking place in London. So it is scheduled now for Wednesday, the 17th of June. We'll be starting at 10 in the morning and going all day. We have 4 different sessions. Essentially, it is part of DevOps UK, but it's an opportunity geared towards Java user group leaders and leaders in the local Java community to share knowledge and learn how to participate more fully in the Adopt the JSR and Adopt Open JDK programs. And what we've organized are some sessions to give you some more hands-on ideas of activities that you can run in your local community around JSRs that are currently being developed. So the first session will be hands-on activity training leaders on how to run sessions for Adopt Open JDK. And the second session will be around some hands-on activities for Adopt the JSR. So we'll have three spec leads there helping to run the Adopt the JSR session. And that'll be CDI, Units of Measurement, and the MVC specification for Java EE 8. We'll also have a session on how to run a hack day, which will be after lunch. And then we'll conclude the day with a panel where we hope to get some interaction from the audience as well as with the speakers from earlier in the day. That was slide 9. I'm finished with slide 9 now.
Okay.
I think I had a couple of other points there. Yeah, so we'll have the panel discussion. Speakers will include spec leads, evangelists, Java user group leaders and members. I'll be there. Patrick will be there from the JCP, and we'll also have leaders from the OpenJDK community. So Daniel Bryant and Nani Sarkar from OpenJDK, David Delabate, Antoine Sabot-Durant, and Leonardo Lima, who are the spec leads and evangelists. And as I mentioned in email, if you've seen any of the emails to the Java user group leaders list and champions list, as well as on Twitter, I do have 50% off discount codes for DevOps UK for those folks who are interested in attending the summit, which again will be all day on Wednesday. And you can contact me directly for details on how to register using the 50% off discount code for DevOps UK.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. So we will hope to see some of our listeners there next month. Excuse me. Apologize for my spluttering. I'm getting over a cold. Okay. So our next topic is JCP.next. We're going to give you guys an update on where we are with this. So I will start out and give you a little history, and I'll talk about JSR 358, and then I will hand it over to Heather to talk about JSR 364. Okay. So, JCP.next. Hopefully you all know what we mean by that, but basically we're talking here about changing the constitution, changing the way the JCP operates. Our constitution is basically two documents. The first is the Java Specification Participation Agreement, or JSPA. This is a legal contract that people sign when they join the organization. And its primary intent is to address intellectual property, IP grants, and the terms under which the specification, the RI, and the TCK must be licensed. This is a big and kind of scary legal document. You can look at it online at this URL. Then we have a second document that we call the process document that talks about our governance, the way the organization is formed and structured, and the election process and the executive committee and stuff like that. And it also defines the actual process that people go through to submit and to define and to develop and review and approve specifications, JSR. And that also is available online at this URL. Because these are basically, you can think of them as the specification for the JCP itself. Since we have a formal process for creating specifications, we call that the JCP, we use the same process to change these documents. So in other words, we modify our process by using the process, by filing the JSR. Typically, I or a member of the PMO will be the spec lead for that JSR, and the executive committee members as a whole will form the expert group for these JSRs. And these, sometimes we call them process change JSRs. They go through the same stages as regular JSRs, and the output is a new version of one or both of those documents that together define our constitution. And over the past few years, we've been working on a series of four JSRs that we collectively called JCP.next to reform our processes. Very quick history, the first of them was JSR 348, and I call that the No More Smoke-Filled Rooms JSR. Prior to that JSR, there were some complaints, sometimes justified, that some of the expert groups were operating in a secret manner. We had a bunch of people that go away in a room and yes, and at the end of the day, a spec would pop out the other end. The public would get to review it, but what they wouldn't be able to see was how did it end up the way that it ended up? What decisions were made? What was considered? What was dropped? What compromises might have been made? And we said no more of that. We want things done in the open. We want the expert groups to work in the open. They must use public mailing lists, public issue trackers. They must permit people to comment, to see what they're doing, to review their work, and respond to public comments. We finished this in late 2011. It was incorporated in version 2.8 of the process document. And the result was we saw a significant increase in developer participation in the JCP because people could now see what was going on. And this was particularly noticeable as the Java user groups took an interest, and thanks to the London Java community and SoJava, they created the Adopter JSR program to kind of formalize the process whereby developers and particularly Java user groups could participate in the work of developing JSRs. So, second of the four JCP.next JSRs was a very simple one. We used to have two separate executive committees. One for Java ME. We knew that Java ME and SE were going to converge, so we said there's no reason to combine them into one. That's very simple. We finished that in August 2012. Hearing rustling in the background, would you please mute star 6? That was an easy one. Third JSR, JSR.next.3, JSR 358, is the big and scary one. It's big and scary because the JSBA is a legal document. It hasn't been significantly modified in more than 10 years. The world has changed since then. When the JSBA was first created, the assumption was that Sun would do the majority of the work developing JSRs. Sun would consult with others, but would usually be the spec lead, would develop the RI, would license its code to other people, and other people would modify that code and create their own implementations. Since then, of course, we've had a widespread adoption of open source development practices, collaborative development, open source licensing, and we feel it's long overdue and it's time for us to kind of update the JSBA and bring it into line with this new world that we're now operating in. But it's a big, complicated document, and we've got to be very careful when we're making changes, because changing a legal document that's been around for many years is kind of like changing legacy source code. You know, you may not know exactly why some code is there, but you've got to be really careful about changing it or removing it, because you may inadvertently break something. It's the same with legal documents. Plus, because it's a legal document, all the lawyers are involved, so obviously it takes great deal of time to reach agreement. It is important, however, because the JSBA, as I said earlier, this is defines the way that intellectual property rights are granted, and it defines the terms under which the output of the process is licensed to implementers and to users. And we need to make sure that everything that we incorporate into Java is safe from an IP perspective, that if somebody donates an idea, ideas of intellectual property, as well as code. We want to make sure that they have the right to make that donation and that the donation is done in a manner that we have the rights to use it and to relicense it to other people, so that when end users or implementers take up the output of the JSR process, that they can do that with confidence, that they are not going to be afraid that somebody's going to pop up out of left field and say, you're violating one of my patents and I want a bunch of money from you. So this is really important stuff. So our goals for this JSR were and are to maintain the existing compatibility guarantees. We, in the JCP, a little different from many, most other standard setting organizations, where in other organizations they create a specification and they certainly encourage people to conform to it, to implement it completely, but they don't. There's no kind of obligation to do so. If you want to implement part of a W3C spec, spec, you're free to do so. We say if you're going to implement a GSR, you must do it completely, and your implementation must include everything in the spec. It shouldn't add stuff that in the Java namespace, for example, so that you would confuse people about what is officially Java and what isn't. So we want to maintain those compatibility guarantees, while at the same time we want to embrace open source licensing and collaborative development processes. We want to simplify the IP flow, the way in which intellectual property flows through the process to the extent that we can, and simplify the licensing models. And we want to build on the earlier GSR 348 to make the process even more open and transparent, and to make it even easier if we can for people to participate. So, a little more about each of these. Strong compatibility. We want to have a standard specification license, which we have today, but we don't mandate that everybody uses it. But that will include the strong compatibility requirements, and we want to make sure that all implementations must pass the TCK. We want to embrace open source, so we want to mandate that reference implementations be developed through collaborative open source processes and released under open source licenses. TCKs, we want to make sure that everybody has access to them, so we will follow the lead of OpenJDK, where they have a community TCK license that anybody participating in OpenJDK has access to. We will do the same thing for all JSRs. And we have a complicated IP flow at the moment. IP passes from contributors through the spec lead to implementers and to end users. We want to simplify that. So, current status. It's been slow going, but we've been making pretty good progress in the last few months. We've got a high-level requirements document for our new intellectual property policy. We're about ready to take that to legal and to get a draft that incorporates these new requirements. We've logged a whole bunch of issues. We're addressing most of them, and I'm quite pleased by that. We've got a long way to go, but we are working on them. And we hope to publish an early draft soon. Of course, we're doing all this work out in the open. As I've said, GSR 348, the first of these JCP.next GSRs, mandates that all GSRs are developed in the open. So, of course, we are trying to be, you know, set an example here. So, we have a Java.NET project. You'll see the URL down here. And this is the homepage. Obviously, this is too small for you to see in detail, but there are links here to what we call our document archive, where all of the meeting minutes and materials, presentations, and documents are published. We have a link to our issue tracker. We have a mailing list that you can join so you can listen in on what we are doing, and you can actually post to an observer's mailing list, and your messages will be relayed to the expert group. So you can watch what we're doing. Excuse me. You can provide us with feedback, and I encourage you to do so. So that's GSR 358. Now I'm going to pass you over to Heather to talk about the fourth of these JSRs, JCP.next.4, sometimes called JSR 364. So, Heather, I'm going to pull up your presentation. Are you still there? I hope you are.
Yes. Thanks, Patrick. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Excuse me.
JSR 364 is broadening JCP membership. There it is.
Okay. So you duplicated... Well, I think we covered.
Yes, we can move on to slide five, I think.
Okay.
I think we were reviewing
Where
we've come, and here we are, the fourth JCP.next JSR. That's JSR 364. And as Patrick just mentioned, we do our work in the open, so there's a separate Java.NET project for JSR 364, and the link is on slide six, with a nice picture of our expert group from the face-to-face that we held in January in San Jose at Freescale. So there we are.
There's the link. As I kind of reviewing, we have an observer mailing list, we have an issue tracker, and then we have a dark document archive where you can review what we talk about in our meetings. And you can also view the latest draft of the process document, which is our output for JSR 364, as well as new agreements that we're working on that we're adding to the JCP in order to enable these new types of membership in the JCP, since that's what JSR 364 is about. It's about broadening JCP membership, so we're introducing new levels of membership as part of JSR 364. So I encourage you to let us know what you think. We are, we just finished our public review, so we are getting ready to publish a proposed final draft. So let us know any comments that you may have, and check out the links in the document archive of JSR 364 project on java.net. Okay.
Slide 8.
So as Patrick mentioned, we spun off JSR 364 from JSR 358 to implement these membership-related discussions that we were having. We wanted to make these changes more quickly. So we expect to have this complete in 2015. We want to encourage more individuals to join the JCP and participate while at the same time ensuring that we have the appropriate IP commitments from all of the members. So we will be introducing some new membership classes, a new associate membership class for individuals, a new partnership membership agreement for Java user groups, and we're also eliminating the fees for corporations. So there will no longer be any fees to participate in the JCP program. And I'll go into a little bit more detail for all of these later. So for now, I just leave it at that. On slide 8 and on slide 9, one of the things that we've worked on within the working group for JSR 364 is this chart. Once it's the changes are final a little bit later in 2015, there will be some new membership classes. So we created this chart to make it easier for prospective members to determine what they're going to receive, what benefits they receive, and what rights they have as members in the different classes. So we'll have associate members, then we'll have full members, and we'll have the partner members. So you can see down here in the chart what rights they will receive. And on the next few slides, I've broken down each one. But essentially, the chart makes it just one place where you can look at all the things that the different types of members can do. So you want to save this to come back to later. It's also available on the java.net project as a working document. Obviously, it will be available on gcp.org once we implement these changes. So I'll start slide 10 with just, of course, we will still have the observer role. So this exists today, and a result of the changes that Patrick mentioned earlier today, all the transparency and participation initiatives that we've done earlier on, you can view everything without actually being a member of the JCP. You don't need a membership agreement. You may need to register on jcp.org and possibly java.net or GitHub or wherever the repositories are hosted. But you have to have a public communications forum. You have to have an issue tracker, et cetera. And this would cover casual-type contributions from observers. So that will still exist as it does today, but we're adding on slide 11 this new membership role for individuals, which is an associate member. And this will have a simplified membership agreement for a personal IP commitment. So this member will not need to sign the JSPA. They will sign the associate membership agreement. And associate members will not act as spec leads, join an expert group officially, or run for an executive committee seat, but they can be formally recognized on the JSR detail page underneath the expert group as a contributor. So that's a new thing that we'll be adding to the site on all of the JSR pages once we implement this new version of the JCP. We'll be able to have associate members nominate themselves to be contributors for JSRs that are being developed through the JCP. And associate members will also vote in the elections. We'll designate 2 seats on the executive committee to be community seats, and the associate membership will vote to determine who will hold the 2 community seats on the executive committee. We won't be rolling this out for the 2015 elections. This will be starting in the 2016 elections, since we're not sure exactly when this will be implemented, but the target date is later in 2015. On slide 12, I'm describing the full membership. So this is the membership that's open to corporations, nonprofits, that includes Java user groups who are legal entities, and self-employed, unemployed, or unemployed individuals, students, as well as some employed individuals if their employer is willing to sign the employer contribution agreement. So this is a new agreement. Essentially, it's replacing the Exhibit B that exists currently for the JSPA. The JSPA remains the membership agreement to be a full member, and full membership rights include acting as a spec lead, joining an expert group, running for a seat on the executive committee, and voting for the ratified and elected seats in the annual JCP executive committee elections. On slide 13, you can see that we also have, of course, representatives of full members. So employees or staff of full members can be associated with the full member. And we expect this category to include officers and staff of nonprofits that are legal entities, as well as corporations. And representatives can represent their parent organization by acting as a spec lead, serving on an expert group, or running for a seat on the executive committee. So this is basically as it exists today. So you have people like Red Hat who are full members, and then their employees can act as spec leads, and they also can act as expert group members. And, of course, there's an actual person representing Red Hat serving on the EC, both a primary and an alternate. And the thing that we're eliminating here for full members is, of course, as I mentioned earlier, no more fees for corporate members. Well, for any members, so there isn't a fee to be a full member of the JCP. All right, so moving on to the next membership level. This is the partner member, and this is a new membership class that we'll be introducing for nonprofits. We expect this will be primarily Java user groups that are not legal entities. So this membership agreement will address the mutual promotion activities that the JCP does with Java user groups currently for activities such as Adopt JSR. This, again, will be a lightweight agreement, so this partner member will not need to sign the full JSPA, but we'll have a partner membership agreement, which we have a draft form available now on the Java.net working documents page. Partner members will not act as spec lead or serve on expert groups, but they can run for election, and in that role serve as an on the expert group for process change JSRs, such as this one, JSR 364. And the individual Java user group members who belong to a Java user group could join as affiliates, as associates if they wish to do more than just act as observers. And partner members will have the same voting rights in the annual EC election as full members. So I think that concludes the summary of the membership classes. Also in the working group, we put together a workflow chart, which if you're on WebEx, you might need to come back to this later. But this is also part of the working group documents, and we'll also be publishing this on gcp.org. But it's a workflow to kind of show you, in addition to the classes chart, in a workflow method, what type of membership would be eligible for without having to read through all of the descriptions of the new membership levels, since, of course, in order to enable this participation, we've introduced a little bit of complexity in terms of different agreements and different memberships for different types of people. So this workflow chart helps you to be guided through the process in determining who you are, if you're a commercial organization, if you're a nonprofit, or if you're an individual. Obviously, if you're an individual and you want to participate in the JCP, that's down at the bottom of the chart, and there are several choices there in terms of signing the associate membership agreement, signing the full JSPA, whether or not you would need an employer contribution agreement or ECA, and the steps that you would follow in order to make that happen, with the ultimate result being a member, whether it's a full member, a representative of a full member, an associate member, or a partner member. I think that kind of concludes my JSR 364 section. I was going to kind of move on and explain our results and our next steps, but I guess we could stop here since we're getting close to the top of the hour and just see if there are any questions either on the WebEx chat or on the phone if anyone wanted to raise a question or make a clarification to what I just said. So I'll just keep moving on. At any point, if anybody has anything, you can put it on the WebEx. So on slide 16, summarizing what Patrick said in the beginning in terms of where we are, we introduced JSR 348 to give us transparency to be the default mode of operation for expert groups. We combined the two ECs into one with JCP 2.9, which is the current version of the JCP. All new JSRs are bound by these rules, and we do still need your participation. We're working on rolling out the next version of the JCP, which is JCP 2.10, which will incorporate the changes I just summarized as part of JSR 364, but we still need your participation. We've made the JCP more open than it was before, and you can have access publicly to all of this information without any type of a membership agreement, the schedule, the wiki, the public discussion, the issue trackers, the executive committee votes on the life of a JSR three times with public results and three open public review periods. And we're encouraging spec leads to release early and release often in order to incorporate developer feedback into the standards as they're developed. And we will, on slide 18, in order to keep encouraging to get involved, one of the questions someone asked me is, adopt the JSR still going to continue? So, yes, it will still continue, and that's another way that you can participate. As I mentioned earlier in the call, we're going to have an adopt program summit as part of DevOps UK, and we'll continue to talk to Java user group leaders about how to participate that way. So we're encouraging you to participate in any way that is most convenient for you. And they included a couple more slides here on slide 19 and 20 about adopt the JSR, kind of our suggestions for feedback of what you can do. Download and review the latest versions of the specification. We make those available for you on the JSR page and also the corresponding project pages that the spec leads maintain. You can break that into chunks if you want to, if you don't have time to review the whole specification. You can comment on clarity and completeness. You can download the sample applications. You can build sample applications. You can file bugs against the early access RI projects, since most of the JSRs have those very early on in the early stages of the JCP at this point. So you can download the RI project and file bugs in public issue tracker, as well as do some early integration to see how it will work with your existing applications depending on the stage of the JSR. On slide 20, there's a link for finding more about Adopt a JSR, the JUG-led initiative to improve standards and have groups of Java user group members work together on JSRs. Lots of links there and resources for you to get started with Adopt the JSR, as well as a wiki where you can see some of the Java user groups, what they're doing, and what JSRs they're interested in. And on slide 21, these are some of the Java user groups that have been active with Adopt the JSR. And if you don't see your logo here, let me know. I keep adding to my collection. You can also find these on the JUG, the Adopt the JSR wiki, so you can even upload your logo there if you'd like to. Slide 22. In conclusion, what we're talking about here is putting the community back into the JCP, eliminating the barriers to participation and enabling all members of the Java community to participate, both in the development of the specifications and in the implementation of the platforms through OpenJDK and GlassFish for Java EE. So we encourage you, if you care about the future of Java, to participate in this process and get involved. And if you have suggestions on how we can make it easier to do this, please let us know. You can do that through the JSR 364 communication forums, or you can send email to the PMO directly at pmo@jcp.org. And on slide 23, I think I have some links to some resources to keep in touch with us online, checking out the blog and Twitter, as well as some additional links for Adopt the JSR, how to follow them, as well as the GitHub organization for Adopt the JSR and the IRC channel for Adopt the JSR. And I believe that concludes the JSR 364 portion of the public EC meeting. I'll turn it back over to you, Patrick.
Okay. I think we usually stop the recording at this point, just in case somebody is shy and would like to.
Yes, you can do star 2 to do that. Unless anybody wants to add anything for the recording, Patrick can go ahead and turn off the recording.
So
and we can hang out.
Comments before I turn off the recording? Okay, I'm going to do that. Hold on a second.